Hi, everyone. Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it. Here we are today, another wonderful day in Daytona Beach. To you folks on internet land, on the podcast or the video blog or whatever you're viewing or listening to us on. I'm Russ with RST Coaching Academy, the founder of Money Talks, where we talk about making money and how to make more of it. And today it's my privilege to introduce to you a new friend of mine whose name is Tim. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. I'll let him do that. But this is going to be an interesting story, because this fellow has come to us from Mongolia. He played with the soccer team in Mongolia, somehow has ended up in the United States as the owner of a Christmas lighting company that does over $100,000 of business in 3 months. Not too bad, you know. If you could just do that all year round, it'd be awesome. But 100,000 in 3 months is great. And he's now dabbling into the investment world. And so I'm going to turn it over to him. And Tim is going to tell us about his background, how he started out in Mongolia, ended up in the United States in Charlotte, North Carolina, in business, prospering in that, and said, that's not enough. I want to do something else. I want to get into the investment world. So, Tim, thanks for coming by. Appreciate the time that you're going to invest in our listeners, our viewers. And so take it away with your background and lead us on through. What's Tim all about?
Yeah. Well, thanks for the great intro, Russ, and happy to be your brother as well. Like you said, yep, my name is Tim Gershio. I'm 30 years old here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was born in Mongolia and moved to the States when I was six with my mom and my stepdad. So always grateful to be in America and to have had a wonderful family and foundation. And then all my life, I grew up playing soccer. So played soccer and then played college soccer and then also played pro as well. And then during that time, the Mongolian national team called me up. So spent 2 years in Mongolia hanging out there. And then I found out I'm not making, I don't know if any of you guys are soccer fans, but I wasn't making Ronaldo or Messi money, as you might say. So I said, I always knew I wanted to be a business owner as well. So I said, all right, I'll start a couple businesses. So one thing led to another, and I guess my most successful business to date is a Christmas lighting company, and we do about $500,000 in about 2 months. So maybe we need to change up that six figures to maybe $500,000 or something like that.
Sounds pretty good to me.
I know, right? So yeah, and got myself completely out of the business over the last 2 years, and was trying to figure out, saw an opportunity or gap in the industry for growth. So I said, okay, how do I want to grow this Christmas business? And it was between licensing, franchising, and then I ran into something called private equity. And as I learned more, I found out that's something that would be more fulfilling in what I want to do and the expansion that I wanted. So about 3 months ago, I got into the private equity world, where we're planning on, me and basically the industry's best are planning on doing a roll up in the Christmas lighting and home services industry. So really looking forward to that. And over the last month, I realized how important, I guess you could call it in the fund world, it's called a capital raiser, is. So that person is basically like a salesperson or a connector between investors and different deals or funds.
Is that the venture capital?
So it's similar. So when you call funds, venture capital is a fund. So in the investment world, you have the different asset classes are real estate, venture capital, private equity, which basically buy out other businesses, which is kind of like M&A, and you have hedge funds and stuff like that.
I see. So you started researching, it sounds to me like you were looking to grow your business and how best to do that. Is that how you ended up studying the private equity world? Or was this in your desire to actually do something different than the Christmas lighting business?
Yeah, so Christmas lighting, it was always a challenge because, well, I see it. I always says it's always a blessing for sure. But sometimes I would see it as a blessing and a curse because we'd only be operating for 6 months or 4 months, and then I would have to find things for my workers or for my employees to my team to do during the season, or even myself, I had to find things to do after the season. So I tried so many different things, and some things were really great, some things weren't, and some things just led to me being able to have the freedom and the power to say, I really just don't want to, I don't see myself in this industry or field. So after about 4 or 5 years of doing that, I finally ran into private equity and started researching. And it seemed like it was the vehicle that I really wanted to be in. So this past summer, I said, God, whatever you do, whatever you venture you bring on to me next, I'm gonna do it wholeheartedly. And luckily, I ran into a vehicle that's very in the financial and investment space that fulfills all my life, all my needs.
All right. So you're still involved in the Christmas lighting business, or have you gotten out of it pretty much completely?
Yeah, it's all ran by employees, so I'm out of it completely.
I see. And now you're dabbling, or your little blurb here said you're dabbling in the investment world. So before I go into that a little bit more, what is your educational background? I know you said that you knew you wanted to be in business. Was that kind of a lifelong desire, passion for you, or just something that sprung up? And then did you seek particular education in the process, or how did that come to play?
Yeah, thank you. Great question. Yeah, I always knew growing up I wanted to be a business owner. I didn't know what it was going to be. And as college, I mean, I would always go to school just to make sure I could continue playing soccer. So I'd just do the bare minimum just to be able to play soccer.
What did you study in school?
I went to college for business management.
Okay, all right. That's my degree as well. Okay.
Nice. Yep. So yeah, just kept on doing, I guess bare minimum you can say at school. And but I always knew I wanted, especially as college became got closer to ending, I was like, all right, what do I do next? And then so for
Yeah. Well, the thing about college, and I know when I was in school back, I graduated in 1970 with a business management degree, there was no talk about being an entrepreneur, being a business owner. You went to college to get a good education so you could come out and maybe get a good job. Well, that didn't happen to me for me for unfortunately, but that passion for business came along 3 years later with my first business as a gas station owner of all things. But
wow.
so you had that in you even before you started college then. So that kind of led you into the area of study that you s selected, namely business management.
Yeah.
Would you say that that had prepared you much for actual business ownership?
I'm sure it could have. Again, I'll be transparent. I was doing the bare minimum, so I was just doing everything I could to continue to keep get the grades to keep playing soccer. But the biggest turn point for me was after going to Mongolia and playing there, I said, okay, I can't sustain, like I can't, this isn't gonna fulfill me financially where I want to be financially. So I either have to continue to keep pursuing soccer. And at that point, I was at kind of like the pinnacle of what I thought my career would be. So I was like, okay, I feel like I've done everything. I played pro, I played for the national team, I did my thing. Now I'm more interested in becoming a businessman. So then when I decided that, really just started investing in myself and teachings and courses to say, hey, this is how you start a digital marketing company, or this is how you start a social media management company, and just kind of started self-learning. So I started learning way more and took my education way more serious after college, I would say.
And got into the self-learning because you were needed to pick up stuff and know things that they didn't even talk about in college. I understand that some of the schools now have more of an entrepreneurial department or, thing like that too, but nevertheless, it's still just theory, basically, and you don't really get to make use of that until you really get out there where the rubber meets the road. How the heck then did you end up in the Christmas lighting business instead of virtually anything else?
So I started with a digital marketing company and was learning all about digital marketing and power of online and the web. So that was really awesome. And then I had some high-end clients that I was managing or did their websites and stuff for. And then I saw some people in a middle-class neighborhood putting up lights. So then I pitched it to my high-end clients and found out it was something that just continue to take off like wildfire and was super in demand. And one thing I knew is like, I love Christmas. I just, the thought of Christmas always just brings my spirits up, and my family really cherishes Christmas. So I found something that was scalable, that was fulfilling, brought me joy and profitable as well. So.
All right. And did you say you were working for a digital marketing company?
No,
Or
I had my own.
you created your own after you learned enough to say, well, I can go out on my own now and create this going. How did you go about getting started in that from nothing, basically nothing except a dream and a vision? How'd you turn that into a going concern?
First I thought about what's, trending and in demand and what the future kind of would be like. And then from there, I knew the power of the internet a little bit, and just being able to say, okay, I'd love to just be able to work from my computer. So then I just got a couple courses, and there's probably this one course that you, one place that you probably never heard of called YouTube University. So yeah, just watched a bunch of YouTube videos, started off, and then I found out the power of actual systematized or system-based courses, which give you a structured way to actually do something for success. So then after watching YouTube videos, I started investing in courses, and then I started investing in business coaches and sales coaches. So that's definitely changed my life.
How much would you say, dollar wise, you have invested in you?
Yeah. I would easily say $200,000, and that's something that I'd take a lot of pride in. You could spend that money on buying a nice car and a nice house, but I've spent that on being frugal and investing in myself. And yeah, so it's just awesome.
Now, folks that are listening to this, he didn't wake up one day, I'm sure, and write a check for $200,000. This was probably $100 here, $200 there, $500, maybe $1,000 here and there, and so on. So this was over how long of a period of time that you were taking? Maybe you're still taking those kind of courses, but how long from when you began on this journey of self-education until you actually was ready to hang out your shingle.
Yeah. No, I think now that you said that, it's pretty interesting. Like over the 6 or 7 year span now, in the beginning I'd spend a couple hundred here and there. And then as I started realizing and picking up more momentum, I started being okay with investing more and more into the tens of thousands. And I started realizing that the more money I would put in, the more money I would make. So even just in the past 6 months, I've probably spent $50,000 on learning how to do things properly from coaches and communities, and it's helping me so much. And this morning, I actually just put in a $6,000 deposit for a sale, capital raising coach specifically for funds. So,
Which is in line with your new passion in the
yes.
investment world, right? So you invested this money, all this money over how long? Did you say 6 or 7 years? Okay. And not knowing for sure that you were going to have a return, that it was going to pay off, although I imagine deep in your heart, you were definitely quite expectant, but there was no guarantees, is what I'm getting at. But you pressed on, and then one day you said, "I'm ready to get going here." Do you? I'm gonna. I would say that you will agree with me when I say investing in yourself is always the best investment. You're probably living proof of that, and how you have gotten such a great return on. Okay, so it costs you $200,000 over a period of time as you learn and learn and learn, but then you ended up with a business that was doing $500,000 in just 3 months a year, and you still can use that same knowledge that you've acquired to virtually do anything that you want to do, namely now in the investment world. Are you in your investment activities? Is that primarily online as well, or is it how do you promote, how do you facilitate that concept?
Thanks, Russ. We covered a lot, we said a lot in just that, and there's so many awesome things that kind of ran through my mind. So are you okay if I break some of what you said down, and then I can answer that last part too?
Yeah, go ahead.
So some of the things that came through my head as you were talking is, $200,000, it's probably $200,000 that I've invested in myself. Who knows, maybe more or less. And I promise you, not all of it was good investments. And some of those investments led to nowhere, or it led me to being to me saying to myself, okay, this actually isn't what I want to do. And there came a point where I became okay with that, because now I got to be aware of myself a little bit more, of who I wanted to be, who the person I really want to be. And I think one really good example of that could be, I invested in a Chris in a artificial, and I have a lot of examples, but I invested in a artificial turf, synthetic artificial grass license. And I had like the region of North and South Carolina, and within 2 years we were doing like $1 million, and it was great. And by the end of that venture, I had a business partner that was a subcontractor for me. We were doing really great together. And then we ended up, after a little while, very quickly it kind of got sour. I don't know if we yeah we he started using my credit. We started hiring his family, and nothing on the guy and everything that happened. It helped me to be here today. I ended up with, and we had a warehouse and all these employees, and it was awesome. I was really great. We had our lanes that we were doing, but I started getting taken advantage of. So then at the end of the relationship, I ended up with $100,000 in debt, a stolen truck, and all this stuff. And then it was a very pivotal moment in my life where I said, okay, like I could easily go bankrupt and file for bankruptcy and just say, hey, I messed up. Or I can get myself out of the hole. And through all my years of living, I was like, no, I'm gonna get myself out. And my Christmas business allowed me to do that, and allows me to continue to still do that. Not saying that I'm in the hole or anything like that. So so just grateful.
So you had the Christmas business going, and then you invested in this other venture that ended up not working out. Okay.
So that was one example. I also invested like $40,000 for a day trade or like a stock trading program. And I think that's one thing I will say is like, hey, when you do have a thing that you want to do, make sure you kind of dabble yourself in it, see if it's something you want to do, and see if the course has a trial period or anything like that. Because the thought of it sounds great, and then when the time comes for you to do the work and you to have to overcome some obstacles, that's when you are really tested to say, is this something you want to do, or is this something that you don't? And those are the really pivotal moments in
Understood.
course.
Nothing is ever as it seems, especially when someone is trying to pitch something like that you're going to have to spend money on, and it's all flowery. And then, you've got to pull back the curtain, and sometimes you can't pull back that curtain until you walk through the door that's open to get into it. And as you said, dabble first, check it out little by little. But that was a $40,000 dabble, right? So, I mean, you are a risk taker. You're not afraid to put your money where your heart is, to put your money where your mouth is, in order to investigate these things and to expand your own learning and broaden your areas of opportunity. So, when you were looking for funding or whatever it was in the Christmas lighting thing, ended up with the private equity option. How did that evolve then into something to say, I want to do this. This is what I want to do. And then what is involved in the private equity from your position?
What made me want to say I want to do this as I learn more was just I started realizing more and more that it would fulfill me financially. So it was like a vehicle that I could invest in, or a vehicle that I can learn and create that will help me build generational wealth. And it was private equity also allows me to grow my Christmas business or any business very rapidly. That's what it is. Private equity firms, their main focus is take something that works really well and grow it as fast as possible in a 3 to 5 year span.
And that usually is a function of money, most likely, because money enables the company to expand research and development, hire more people and so on, and build things out. So are you a private equity fund manager then, seeking funds from other individuals to invest, or is that a whole different world?
So that is part of, I am a fund manager, and that is part of a fund. So a fund is basically a really, I guess a really, it's a business on a whole nother level because it basically takes a business that works, and now you're trying to get investors to invest in it so that you can grow it even more. So now let's say you have a business that has its own teams, and then now this business, the fund is a whole business in itself that invests in the business and that has like salespeople and operators of the fund as well. So
Oh.
it's like a business on a mega, it's like a mega business.
Oh,
So
wow.
neat. And yeah, one of the parts is learning to fundraise and capital raise. And one thing that I saw that in the fund world, as I get to interview all these fund managers, it's like most of these people, and including myself, they end up, and I, yeah. So most of these people, they're like operators of a business. So they know how to do this really well. And then when they open a fund, they don't see that you have to know how to operate a fund. And then you have to know how to sell a fund or raise capital for a fund. And it's a whole nother thing. So it gets difficult when you have to operate your business and then you have to raise cap, operate the fund, and then raise capital. So I actually found a niche, a little niche, not even a niche. I just found after interviewing all these fund managers, I found that there's a lot of demand for some for capital raising. And that's when I decided about a month and a half, month and a half ago, said, I want to learn the skill of capital raising, or I want to learn the skill of being a super connector, being able to connect any type of deal to investors. And if it fits their financial goals and fits what their buy box is, then they're going to invest. And I was able to bring these two together. And I knew that was a powerful skill because if I wanted to have a successful private equity firm, I would have to learn this. And it takes a little bit of time to get all the legal stuff worked out for a private equity firm, but I wanted to get right into learning how to capital raise. So I said, all right, I got to learn how to capital raise. I let my team take care of the back end.
And there's probably licensing involved with that. Is it anything with the SEC or not?
Yeah, so there it is a very when you sell securities, which is an investment firm is a security. You do it is very regulated and you have to be compliant on a lot of things. You don't so there's the series. I think there's a couple a good amount of licenses, but I know for to sell securities legally, you have to have the Series 65, and to become a broker, you have to have the Series 7. But if you own if you are an owner of that fund, if you own that business, then you can raise for it without having any of the licenses.
And are you the owner of the fund?
Yes.
Okay, so that puts you in a different world of management and releases you from some of that some of that oversight regulation. But
Yeah.
the people that work with you and are actually out doing things, do they have to be licensed as well or not?
From what you would have to ask your own attorney in your state, but from my understanding of the little time I've had in the investment space, you're someone on your team and anybody in Russ's community, if I'm wrong, please let me know. I'm totally fine being wrong. Like I said, I'm fairly new. If someone on your if someone in your company has a Series 65 or a Series 7, you can utilize that, and not everybody needs to have it. But if you're gonna bring in other capital raisers sometimes and you don't have it, then yes, they will need to have that, or
I
they need to
see.
have ownership of your business.
Okay. And how do you attract, how do you locate and attract potential investors in the fund?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of so there's four types of investors. There's non-accredited, which is the everyday person, probably doesn't have the most to invest. You have accredited, who are high net worth individuals. They make about $200,000 a year, or $1 million net worth. You have family offices, and family offices, they got very rich. Maybe it's a family or a group of people that decided to pool money together because they got very rich, and now their goal is for sustained wealth over generations. And then you have institutional, and these are big businesses buying out other big businesses. And yeah, there's ways to find each one, but it's really cool. Each one has its own way of its own route that you have to navigate to.
Its
And
own network, I suppose, its own space, its own environment then,
yeah.
probably, huh? Okay. And it's not like you calling somebody, hey Joe, this is Tim. How would you like to invest in my fund? You know, you got $100,000 or $10,000 you want to invest. You're cold calling somebody that has no idea about the whole concept, but these people in these four categories, they're probably got their antennas up all the time looking for opportunities because that's what they're about, correct? Yeah. So,
Yeah, it's a they're looking for opportunities, but the investment world is a very relationship and reputation based industry. So I'm realizing now how important, like, I've acquired a network over accumulated a network over my 6 years in business, all types of millionaires and celebrities and pro athletes, but I never had to do anything with it. So now it's kind of been fun or a challenge. It's a fun challenge to be able to say, okay, like, do I become valuable to my network? And it's really just one, understanding what their goals are in terms of investments or their financial goal, and two, what kind of asset they invest in already, and then three, and just like sales, like, you can't force anybody to do anything, so you can present them a deal, and if they don't like it, it's okay, and if they do, great. I'm glad we were able to be of value.
Let's do business. You said relationship and what this is based on?
Relationship and reputation.
Reputation. I was going to write that down and I thought, I don't think that is it, but it is reputation. Good deal. Okay. All right. Well, very interesting. I love talking about business. I call myself a hopeless entrepreneur. And I think you're kind of one too. It just can't help yourself by checking out different things. I mean, you had this successful Christmas lighting business going, and you said, "Well, I think I'm going to spend $40,000 and do this." Well, it worked for a while, but it was just the wrong. Unfortunately, it sounds like that was the wrong. It was a good idea, but it was maybe the wrong relationship, the wrong partnership. But you're not afraid to check out different things and invest your time and money into seeing if it's going to be a viable thing for you. And maybe this is going to be your legacy here, is this private equity fund management and ending up owning lots of companies. Good fortune to you. As we close this down, it's time now for you to offer your advice to our audience. What would you say to somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, or maybe knows what they're doing, but knows what they want to do, how to get started? What would you say to an individual to maybe help somebody along the way?
Thank you, Russ. So I think I would have to. So it's just I don't know. There's so many people out there. So I'll just start with this. Definitely message me if you ever need any advice, because there's so much advice to be had and so many different experiences that I've experienced that I know would help you. I guess we could start with just believe in yourself. I've always had self-confidence to be able to say, okay, I know this is some, and we're in America, or hopefully you're in America, but even if you're not, it's okay. You have to be able to believe that whatever you end up doing, that you can learn it, that you can do it, and whatever you end up deciding to do, it's going to be hard work. So you have to do the hard work.
It's always harder than you think it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to be ready for that. My mentor in business, Grant Cardone, says you got to put massive action to it. You think what it's going to take to accomplish this, and then 10 times that. Throw massive action at it. And if you do that over time, you're going to be successful. But that's a good tip, is folks prepare for the hard work. Few things are as easy as they look on the surface. Once you get started, there's stuff behind the curtain. But as Tim said, believe in yourself, learn how to do it, and then anticipate and prepare for the hard work. Get started and don't quit. Anything else you can throw out there, Tim?
Yeah, just so much. And I've just
I could write a
so
book, huh?
and last thing, yeah, just it takes a lot of sacrifice, especially nowadays. We have social media, we can get instant gratification, we see people's instant success, but you never seen what all they had to do to get there. So don't compare. One thing I do is I take social media off my phone. I even put my phone in a whole nother room, because once you have your goals set, you need to be working towards that. And if it takes a year, if it takes 2 years to finally get there, that's okay. You were doing what fulfilled you and what you think is going to make you happy. But don't let someone else's level 20 look down on your level one. It takes somewhere to get started, and that level 20 took, it took, he was there once. So just keep going, keep
That's
going.
awesome. That's awesome to just be focused and don't get distracted.
Yeah.
Don't
Well,
let
one
other
thing I
things get in.
remember growing up, I'm sure you do too. One thing I remember growing up, like, it was just the only people that I could connect to or was around was just me, my cousin, and my friends that were my same age. Now you're connected to people, millionaires looking at their lifestyle at 10 years old, and you're like, oh, I want that. And yeah, anyways.
And what's it going to take to get there? That's really cool. All right, you mentioned people could message you. How do people get in contact with you? You have a website, phone number, email address, whatever you want to throw out there that people could use to contact you about any of this advice or investigating this private equity fund.
I mean, oh, and then one thing, I would never be where I am today without all the people that's poured into me, whether it was paid or unpaid. So many people have just given me advice and mentorship and guidance, been there for me when I was low. So I want to be there for you as well. Life is tough. You need people to help you get up. And I wouldn't be where I am today without all these wonderful people.
Help from others.
So yeah, Tim Gershio, Tim O. Gershio on Instagram. I'm there. LinkedIn, Tim Gershio. I think it's a face of an Asian guy and a red ring around it, like a border around it, and a business suit smiling. So
Great.
if
Have
you
you got
need
a
anything,
website?
yeah, timgershio.com.
Okay. Okay, folks, you got that? TimGershio.com. Or his handle there on Instagram, I think you said, correct? So,
Instagram, LinkedIn, anywhere, Tim Gershier. I think I'm one of maybe five in the world.
all right. Is that
Probably
right?
one of only one Asian Tim Gershier.
All
So,
right. All
yeah.
right. Hey, man, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. And how old are you now?
I'm 30.
30. I think you're off to a great start. When I was 30, I still didn't know what I was going to do. And so, you know what you're going to do, you know what you've done, you know where you're going, and that's really cool. A lot of people your age, I think they're still called millennials, right? They have no concept. So, kudos to you because you have a concept. You know what's going on and you've got the plan, and I appreciate that, and I'm sure my listeners do too, as well as people that you come in contact with. 30 years old is not very old. I'm 75. But the Bible says, Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, don't let anybody despise your youth. And you just keep on plugging in, keep it going, and you'll earn respect where people may kind of look askance at you to begin with, but keep on going. Don't let them scare you. So, folks, thank you for tuning in today. It's been really cool listening to Tim and seeing him and hearing about his life and what he's accomplished and in his new venture in private equity funding. I mean, that's a whole different world from Christmas lighting, for crying out loud. But hey, you got to diversify sometime. Get one thing going real solid, and then you can diversify into something else and just keep on going. So, folks, listen, go to Tim's website if you want, timgershio.com. If anything I can do for you, Russ at rstcoachingacademy.com, check us out. Let's see what we can do together. And the sky is the limit for all of us. But it starts, I think, in the mind that I can do. Tim said the first thing of advice that he had for you folks was believe in yourself. Do that. And we'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Over and out today.
Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.